That was in the X-rated portion.
No, I haven't heard the X-rated portion.
Oh, does she want to take it up and hear the X-rated portion?
You can play it down here, Joanne.
About the leaves bit. Have you got the thing on?
Yeah.
We just got your tape about the leaves bit. And don't make a big deal out of it.
And as you all know, I didn't make a big deal out of it. I just came home anyway. Okay, you're real fortunate. You're getting two 60-minute tapes in a row, yesterday and today. So consider yourself very, very lucky, mainly because I can't seem to find anything to write with, and I haven't really got any. I'm not in a mood to write. It's hard to write lying down on your back. And it's real easy to record this way.
So,
I just, you know, sit back and relax. This is going to be current events for the most part of this side. And then the other side is going to be the latest installment on firearms. Instead of writing a letter. I keep running my pens out of ink when I start writing those 10 and 20 page letters. 10 and 20. You've never gotten a 20 page letter from me, have you? Well, 10 page letter anyway. But, anyway, like I said I would yesterday, I wrapped up some junk in the mail and sent it to you today. So you should get it sometime, shortly. Let's see. I can't remember what I told you yesterday, but I probably told you everything, so I'm going to tell it all to you again. I got some pictures into the processor. They'll be out in a week. I was supposed to get some pictures today, but I don't think any mail has arrived here today at all, so I won't hold this one against you. Yeah, I wrapped up a package. One is some medals and some patches, calf patches and other patches. And the other one, well, and also in addition with the patches and the medals, or the medals, are some stereo leads and all wrapped up in a paper bag, polyethylene bag. Just when you get those, just leave them the way they are, because you don't really need them, I don't think. So just, you know, just set them aside in a safe place. I just mailed them home because I'm tired of messing with them, and I'm afraid I'm going to, you know, lose them or something. Also, inside that plastic bag are the fuses and the plugs you need to... are the fuses and the plugs that go with the amplifier. But I don't want you to try putting them in because you don't know what size fuse to use and all that. So, just put the whole plastic bag in a bottom drawer someplace or safe and save it for me, okay? And the metals you can do with whatever you want to do with them, I don't care. And also in another package is a plaque and two letter openers. Letter openers, they're genuine calf letter openers. And when I originally got them before Christmas, you know, when I was going to come home. And things got fouled up and I didn't get home with them. And I was going to give them to my father and your father for Christmas. And so as you can plainly see, I didn't make it. So, if you will please present each of those gentlemen with a genuine calf machete bayonet type letter opener, I'd appreciate it. Just, you know, just for grins. Let's see, what else? And then there's some patches. There's two calf patches. And there's a Southeast Asian War Games patch, and a Peace Hell Bomb Hanoi patch. And you can sew those two patches on your jacket somewhere. And there's two more yellow calf patches. So you ought to be set. That's about it. That's about all I remember. And a couple, you know, four medals, which you know all the details for. Two distinguished flying crosses, one silver star and one purple heart. Which I was very magnificently awarded the other day, finally. Well, actually, I had one DFC already. As a matter of fact, I was going to bring it home before Christmas. And I told you about the Silver Star. Well, they finally put that one through. I didn't know whether or not I was going to get that. I was afraid they were going to reduce it, and I don't really need three DFCs. But anyway, the Silver Star and one DFC were for the same event, actually. And the Purple Heart, I ran in on them the other day on that little deal with Charlie. And they're closing out all the awards, so from now on, no matter what happens, I can't get any more awards. Well, anyway, and then I got a plaque from Chicken Man, which actually should have a medal mounted on each side of it, but they screwed up, as they also did on the date. If you'll notice, they say I arrived July the 26th. I really arrived June the 26th in company. But no big thing. Yeah, the medals are supposed to be mounted on that plaque, on each side of the plaque. You know, if you notice, it's kind of blank there. You're supposed to mount your two highest medals there, but I don't know exactly how you do that or anything like that, so I'll let you mess with it. See if you can do something with it. See, at the time they sent me the plaque, I was pending on all those medals, and they didn't know which ones to put on there. Oh, yeah, and I've also got some more air medals. And let's see. That's about it. That's all I can think of right now. Well, anyway, I got all that junk boxed up and sent to you, so you can have it to play with. Or whatever you want to do with it. I was going to enclose a letter in the package, but I forgot. Got wrapped up in wrapping it up. So there's no letter. But anyway, you'll know who it's from when you get it. Can you hear that? That's my hooch maid.
Impact Center. Let's see, you asked for more details on my collection at present. I've got a Ruger Model 77 in 308. And that's the short action Ruger bolt action.
And I've heard all that before. I was just checking to see if my hooch maid came through, whether I was drowning her out or not. I never be able to understand that language, I tell you. But, let's see, what else is going on? Well, nothing's going on, actually. I don't understand why in the world it's taking so long for my amplifier to get there. I got out my receipt, and I mailed that on December the 18th, so it's had 6 weeks to get there, and I don't understand what the deal is. Although I remember one time I got a fourth class mail package that I don't know, it took about Well, it seemed like it took a long, long time, about 8 weeks, I guess. Maybe 2 months or so. But I don't know. You never have sent anything to me, fourth class, I don't think. But that poster I ordered, blown up of you, was sent fourth class. And, well, anyway, let's see what else. But that took a long time, so I don't know. Maybe it's everything's all right. But let's see. I got to think of something to say, right?
Right.
Well, like I said, I don't know why. I don't know why the amplifier's taking so long. But it should be arriving any day now. Be sure and let me know. And don't play it. I don't care if you shoot my Winslow, but you better not try to hook up that amplifier. Because if you do it right, I'll be mad. And if you blow it out, ooh, sweetheart. You don't know what'll happen then. No, you really can't hurt the Winslow as long as you don't get the wrong hand load for it. With the amplifier, really, it's very touchy. I noticed, I found that out the hard way. As a matter of fact, one guy, I had to send his back before he even got it hooked up because he hooked it up wrong. And zap, the thing just, you know, flickered like a flashbulb. And that was the end of it. And that's about how good it was after it got through, too. So don't mess with it. But do check it and see whether or not it's damaged. If it doesn't appear to be damaged, it probably isn't, because as far as shock is concerned, you can't hurt those amplifiers other than breaking up the case on them. You can get it out and look at it if you want to, but you're really not going to be able to notice a whole lot of difference between it with the present setup. And since the setup is not at your house anyway, I just assume, you know, that other people didn't mess with it. So, you better not try to get away with anything on that. But you can shoot the Winslow. let's see, what else? When the tape deck arrives, well, I don't know. I'm going to try to time the tape deck so that I arrive when it arrives, so that you won't have the temptation to hook it up. But, when the tape deck arrives, you can hook it up. Although, I haven't ordered it yet. But I'm going to. Oh, yes. One other thing I've got to tell you. I wrote a $50 check today. Now, I don't know whether this will mess you up. If it will, send me a note as fast as you can.
Oh, yeah. Go away.
And say that it will. Let me know that it will. And, well, I've got to go to, and I'll go to finance and cover it for you. Well, as a matter of fact, I've got to go to finance anyway, so probably before you get the check, I should be able to get to finance. The check probably take, what, about a month to get there? Well, anyway, I'm going to try to get to finance before then. You see, I got my raise to reallocate. I got a $41 raise this month. And I've also got the $200 that I've been holding, you know. And I'm going to go down and clean out all that stuff and, you know, clean house at finance. And I think I'll just send you the extra $40. That'll up you from 255, won't it? 255 or 250 or whatever you're getting to about 290. And just, you know, I'll just give you 290, 434 to me as soon as I get the chance. Although don't spend it until you get it, you know. No, I had to write a $50 check to pay back Charlie and everybody I borrowed money from to go to Saigon the other day, which is about what it cost me. No, it didn't really cost that, did it? No, it really didn't cost that much, but I was broke anyway, and needed some money for magazines and Cokes and beer and stuff. So, I just decided to go ahead and write a $50 check. And the first day I fly, I'll try to stop in at Benoit and go to finance. And, see if I can't get that straightened out. And let's see, what else? That's about it. But I woke up this morning and I was in love with you, so I guess everything is all right. Yeah, I didn't get any mail today, for some reason. I don't think anybody did, actually. But I sure wish I did, because I'm expecting those pictures today or tomorrow or sometime soon, right? You said they'd be coming? So, oh, yeah. Got some bad news. You know Dave Off, Charlie's old buddy. We found out Charlie ran into him yesterday. See, Charlie came back a day later from Saigon than I did. I came back, 2 days ago? I came back after one night, and Charlie stayed 2 nights. And he ended up staying 3 nights, actually, but not in Saigon. Two nights in Saigon, he came back and met Dave Auth, and they stayed at Benoit, I think. But Dave Auth had gotten addicted to heroin. What do you think about that? It really something. I couldn't believe it. That, you know, that, I don't know. He always was kind of a weirdo to me. Charlie said he was all right, but I kind of thought he was kind of screwed up one way or another, you know. And, anyway, he has gotten hooked on heroin, you know. Really, really hooked, you know. And, he had to quit flying about his second month over here. He got scared or something. And, I gave him a desk job, an all-piddly desk job or something like that. He got bored and started playing around with drugs, I guess. Got himself hooked on heroin just from sniffing it, you know. Wasn't even injecting it or anything, just sniffing it. He's sniffing it about 3 times a day, Charlie said. Stayed high all the time. Then he got shipped out someplace that cut off his supply completely. I think they shipped him out to some fire base or a camp or someplace away. He was in Kuchi. But they shipped him out, and he couldn't get the stuff anymore, you know. And when he ran out, and that was it, you know. And there was no help, and there was no way he could get any. And he just, you know, was going through real hell, you know. He couldn't get any more stuff. And he didn't realize, actually, that he was hooked on it at the time anyway. But, he was, and he had to turn himself in to get some to save his I don't know, his body or something. You know, he was rolling around in pain and everything. They were shuffling him around and back and forth. But I couldn't believe that I don't know how anybody that is enlightened enough to make it through walk school, you know. You got to have a little bit on the ball to make it through walk school. And I don't know, Dave, although Charlie doesn't have any college, you know, he's pretty smart. And most of the guys are, really, you know. They may have limited education, but most of them are smart enough to know things like that just don't cut it, you know. And almost everybody I knew realized the difference between real narcotics and marijuana, you know. There was no, it's just inconceivable, really. But I guess he's that 1% that goes on to harder stuff that they all talk about, you know. But anyway, he got himself addicted to it, and he's in a big pile of trouble right now.
So,
count your blessings, I guess. I'm not addicted to anything. I used to think I was addicted to sex. I thought I'd die without it, but I'm still alive and haven't got any. So, where there's a will, there's a way, I guess. I don't know. But I just, that's the first person I ever knew that really, really got hooked on it. But you live and learn, I guess. Yeah. Well, I'm back again. I just paused to read a magazine article here. Yeah, send me magazines. Penthouse, especially, and Playboy. Because neither of either can I get over here. Gun magazines, too. Send me anything. Send me love. Send me you. That's even better. Send me you. Oh, let's see what else. I can't think of anything else. I hate to start on guns already. But maybe if I start on them, I'll think of something while I'm doing them. Okay, part two. So far, I have covered 30-06, 300 Winchester, the 44 Magnum, the 38 Special. Yeah, that's it so far. That leaves the 300 Winslow, the 22-250, the Browning High Power, and the German Luger, of which I will start to cover all. I'm going to cover the Weatherby right now, briefly, because you're shooting it now, and it is a little more hazardous to shoot than the rest of them, so I'm just going to briefly go down the details. In 1948, or shortly after the close of the Second World War, Roy Weatherby, builder in California, amateur hobbyist rifleman, began his own line of high-powered rifles, and his rifles all had one thing in common. They all used belted Magnum brass, which is not unusual. He used plain old 300 H&H Magnum brass. And originally, he used a Mauser bolt action. If you remember, John had one. He built custom rifles randomly and then started specializing in his own cartridge. And all of his cartridges have several characteristics that are significant. One being the belt. They all use belted Magnum brass. Now, this is not unusual. A lot of other cartridges use belted Magnum brass, too. Belted Magnum brass is not really anything unique or unusual, except it's just a very quick and easy way of identifying the larger cased ammunition. And it also aids a little bit in the strength of the head is increased by the belt, and the belt also allows for a little more sure head spacing on the belt itself. actually what it tries to do is get all the advantages of a rimmed cartridge without any of the disadvantages. Rim cartridges are real good about head spacing. You can put any kind of a crimp on them, or you can shoot any kind of a fire-forming load in them, or this thing, because they head space right there on the belt. The belt also has a little, you know, a few thousandths of an inch more more brass thickness at the base of the head than a standard cartridge, which is, well, the more, the thicker the brass, the more pressure it can take, so it beefs up the head a little bit. And of course, it's a half inch in diameter. All Magnum brass is almost any Magnum brass will fit into any Magnum chamber. The base will, the head will. Well, anyway, this is nothing new. And then Weatherby also used 30-06 length cartridges and full length 300 H&H Magnum cartridges. Everything below the 30 caliber line, in other words, the 7 millimeter, the 270, the 257, all have used 30-06 length Magnum brass, short Magnums. And the 30 caliber, the 340, 338, 375, 378, well, the 378 and the 460 are even bigger brass cases. But up through 375, all use a full-length case. And rather than, like most conventional cartridges, using an absolute degreed shoulder, Weatherby uses a rounded, what they call a radiused shoulder. Now, there's no really significant advantage in this, except that it's just the characteristics of a Weatherby cartridge. It's just kind of a little salesmanship thrown in there, a little showmanship, something special to advertise about, which really doesn't do anything, you know. It's kind of like chrome bumper guards on cars or something. I don't know. Rubber bumper guards on cars. But anyway... But anyway, he got the ball rolling and bought out a whole line of Magnum cartridges, and later he bought out the rifles to shoot them in, the famous Mark V action, which is a bolt action made in Germany and has 9 locking lugs. They're little bitty tiny things up front in groups of 3 around the head. It's said to be a considerably stronger action than a previous Mauser, but the weakest point in any chamber is the brass itself, not really the action, so it's rather academic. Once you blow the brass, you've ruined the gun, no matter how strong the action is, so it doesn't really make much difference. If the brass blows at 75,000 pounds per square inch, what good does it do have a rifle that can take 200,000 pounds per square inch? Mauser actions are plenty strong for any normal, sane use. And like I said, the brass is the weak link, not the action itself. So, no point using bigger hooks on a small chain. Well, anyway, with the advent of DuPont improved military rifle powder number 4350, made all of these Magnum cases work. They'd been around for a long, long time, but they just didn't work for the simple reason that they didn't have powders developed that were slow enough burning that could be used. What good does it do to have a great big tall case if you can only fill it half full of powder before your pressure starts jumping? You don't get any more velocity than a 30-06, so for the lack of a powder, a suitable powder was the thing that slowed down velocities for a long time. But then DuPont developed 4350, and you could stuff a 30-06 case, and you still can, completely full of 4350. and still not having run into any pressure problems, because you just can't put enough powder in the case to build a pressure that high, because the powder burns so slow. So you go to a bigger case. You know, if you can stuff a 300 H&H almost full, get a bigger case, stuff a Weatherby loosely, like you do a 30-06, you have all that extra velocity. And velocity they did have. A 300 Weatherby. A 300 Weatherby.